From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Ikeda Theater at the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. It's great to be back in Arizona, particularly right now, as the Republican Party prepares to nominate a man who makes his home here. All right, a second home. It's important as the race starts to go national to spend some time in the candidate's home turf and talk to the people who know the candidate and know what it's like to be personally yelled at by him. Stick around, because later we'll be joined by the governor of Arizona, Janet Napolitano. She'll be here. Apparently, we found her demographic. But first, it's your turn. The number to call is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
How you doing? It's Brian Lowe from Maplewood, New Jersey.
Hey, how are things in Maplewood?
Oh, how aren't they?
Really? That's just the question, ultimately. That's not far from where I grew up.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey.
Right up 78.
Yeah, I know. I hate to say this, but I'm actually curious. What exit are you?
Oh, come on.
No, I know. I feel cheap somehow. Or I should say, I feel cheaper.
That's true.
Welcome to the show, Brian. Let me introduce you to our panel. First, say hello to a performer and writer still on strike with HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Brian.
Also say hello to a deputy editor at the Houston Chronicle and a fabulously popular blogger there, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
And lastly, say hello to a comedian, writer, and director, Mr. Paul Provenza.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I was born to run. How about you?
This name.
Welcome to the show, Brian. Now, we're going to start you off this week with a special edition of Carl Castle's Countdown. We're calling it Super Tuesday Palooza. Three songs about the political news this week. Your job, explain who or what each song is about. Do that two times out of three. You'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine, no doubt making promises he does not intend to keep. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, Carl, what's first in your playlist?
Peter, it's a duet, and it's sung by two people who are linking hands and walking into the future together.
Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're gonna go through it together.
So what two people will be facing each other, I'm sure, with smiles plastered on their faces for at least the next few months?
I would think that would be Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Not quite. No, no. Interesting. I don't think they even pretend to be happy with each other anymore. No, that's not what I was talking about.
Well, you see, now that brings up an interesting point. It's very important to remind the public that Bill is not running for president.
That's true.
What?
No, you got it half right.
No, he's running.
Two people. We thought we'd get rid of one of them, but we still got both of them, at least for the foreseeable future.
Oh, well, Hillary and Obama, right?
Exactly, yes.
Hillary All right. Obama. All right. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to answer again.
You were. It was supposed to be over by now. Super Tuesday was the day when the music would swell, and Barack would bang in the church window at America's wedding to Hillary and shout, America, America, and then America would run back up the aisle and jump on the bus with him. Or, conversely, Hillary was going to show up at America's door and say, you complete me. And America says, you had us at universal health care. But no, the Democrats are just not ready to commit, it seems, so the battle will go on to Virginia and Ohio and Texas, Hillary taking some states, Obama taking others, until the nomination finally gets determined by the late July caucuses in American Samoa.
See, now I've got this image of, like, Obama standing outside America's window with a boombox over his head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think they'll all just say anything.
Yeah. It's
oh! Well played, sir. Well
Speed
played.
And accuracy.
Carl, what's the next big number?
Peter, it's an anthem sung by a man who's not used to being charming, but who's going to have to try.
So, who is the guy who's going to have to make some of the hardcore conservatives love him?
Oh. I've shout it out in the audience.
Now, you remember this was political news, right?
Right, right. Coincidentally, I haven't been paying attention this week.
That's good preparation.
Well, it wasn't a big week.
It's
yeah, it was
think,
what happened? Slow news week.
Dude, did you drunk dial us? Is that what's going on?
I think it's Huckabee.
No, he's actually the only other guy left at this point.
You're going to have to concede on this one, gentlemen.
It's John McCain, of course. John McCain. The presumptive Republican nominee has a problem. There is a good section of his own party that just hates him.
Right.
So this week, he journeyed to the heart of the hardcore conservative movement, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. It's held...
Cue banjo.
It's held in a gothic castle on a rocky, wolf-infested crag in Bethesda, Maryland. There, McCain, with his trademark, straight-talking, brutal honesty, sucked up to the right wing. He was enthusiastically cheered, but apparently, and this is true, the hall in front of him, with all those cheering people, intentionally packed with his own supporters.
Oh.
Actual conference goers were stuck in an overflow room watching him on video. They booed him lustily.
Really?
Despite being instructed not to.
No, well, see, I've got a whole problem with this. I mean, why does he have to go suck up to them? Shouldn't they be sucking up to him? I mean, he's the one who's going to be picking the ambassador to Luxembourg.
Well, but he knows that the staunch conservative wing of the party would prefer Hillary Clinton over him.
Well, there's actually some of them, Ann Coulter, a woman who keeps herself in her excellent shape by dining only on her own bile. She... No. She actually said that. She said she'd rather vote for Hillary.
Did.
She'd rather vote for Hillary because...
Yeah, there's a source for you.
Yeah, I know. But no, you're right. Actually, it's hard.
We're quoting Ann Coulter.
The conventional wisdom is he needs to unify his party. He needs to bring the right wing under... You know, back into the tent, so to seal up their support. It may have been a scripted moment, we're not sure, but he did burst into the kitchen after his speech and attempt to personally deport the guy washing the dishes. So, okay, Brian, you're one for two, but you still have a chance. If you get this one right, you'll win. Carl, what's the last big number they're playing in the smoke-filled rooms this week?
It's a song sung by a man who finally realized the inevitable this week, and he chose to bow out with grace and dignity.
Nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I'm going to the garden to eat worms.
So who announced this week he was dropping out of the presidential race because his sophisticated polling operation told him that nobody liked him?
Mitt Romney.
Exactly right.
Yes, Jersey.
Jersey. It seems so unfair. Here's a man who had everything you'd think you'd need to lead this great nation, a vast personal fortune, a willingness to espouse any position, and, of course, perfect hair. But no, Romney dropped out of the race on Thursday in the face of a poor showing on Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
People said that in his announcement that he was quitting was the best speech he's given. That's true. People have said that. Part of it, insiders say, is that there's a new freedom to say what he actually believes.
Well,
of course, now the challenge for Romney now is to recall what he actually believes. So far, he has recollected that he prefers the original Star Trek to the other versions and that he does insist on classic tennis whites for even informal game. Are we going to miss Mitt Romney?
We hardly liked ye.
I think we'll be able to see him hosting a game show sometime in the near
future. He does. You know, now that you mention
you know?
It, he reminded
the Joker's
me...
Wild.
No, it's true. He reminded me of no one so much as Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale.
You're right. Carl, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Brian had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to be a winner.
Well done, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.